Good evening. We're moving forward in the book of Ezra. We had learned on Friday about how the king Koresh had given the Jews license to return and rebuild the second Beit HaMikdash. 40,000 Jews had ascended to Israel. This is after the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash, obviously. Koresh is the second king of the Persian Mede Empire. And so Koresh had told the Jews, you're all encouraged to go. And then the Jews had ascended about 40,000 under the leadership of Zerubbabel, under the leadership of Sheshbazzar, which our tradition is Sheshbazzar is Daniel. And they ascend to Israel. In their second year in Israel, they establish the second Beit HaMikdash, and they start bringing sacrifices. This lasts for all of a year. At the end of a year, so then the neighbors, the non-Jews who are living in Israel, the Edomites, the Ammonites, the neighbors from all around, they come and say, we want to help you rebuild the second Beit HaMikdash. And the Jews say, no. The Jews recognize that it is a ploy. They're trying to disrupt the building of the second Beit HaMikdash. And so then their non-Jewish neighbors commission the writing of a very evil letter explaining to Koresh how the Jews are fortifying the walls in Jerusalem and rebuilding the temple with an intention to rebel against him. And they tell Koresh, check your history books, you will see that the Jews historically have always used Jerusalem and the temple and their strength as an ability to rebel against the kingdoms. They are not faithful subjects. If you allow them to do this, they will take over all of the Middle East west of the Euphrates, what's called Eiver HaNahar, the other side of the Euphrates, Nehar Pirat. And Koresh is convinced. The author of this letter is a man named Shimshai. Shimshai is the son of Haman. And so Koresh makes a decree that the Jews have to stop building the Beit HaMikdash and fortifying the walls. These 40,000 Jews who had made an ascent to Israel are on pause. No more building of the Beit HaMikdash. And then Koresh completes his reign, and he dies at war. And after him comes to the reign a man named Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus is the one we meet in Megillas Esther. The non-Jews in Israel send a new letter telling Ahasuerus how terrible the Jews are, and how he has to make sure not to allow them to rebuild the temple. Mordechai, who is living in Israel, as we saw in the book of Ezra, Mordechai sees that this isn't going to work. He travels back to Babylon. Mordechai takes his family back to Chutz Laaretz. This is Mordechai's second exile, to come in and try and convince the king to allow the rebuilding of the second Beit HaMikdash. And this is the backdrop to our scene in Megillat Esther, where Mordechai is now in Shushan. He has come to the capital, and his goal is, how do I change the political winds to get the king to allow the Jews to rebuild the second Beit HaMikdash? It doesn't work. Ahasuerus, throughout his conversations with Esther, will say, Ad chatzi amalchut, I will not allow you to have my kingdom. I will not allow you to cut my kingdom in half. I will not allow you to give license to the enemies on the other side of the Euphrates, the Jews, to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. Ahasuerus is scared of the Jews. He knows full well the prophecies of his predecessors, Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, the idea that ultimately the Jews are going to take his kingdom. And so Ahasuerus is always very careful, even when he speaks to this new queen of his, who he doesn't know her nationality, but he's still very careful when he offers her gifts. Don't ask me for that. And Ahasuerus is king for 14 years. During this time, Esther has a child. This child takes the throne after Ahasuerus, and he is known as Dariavesh. Darius II. We had the first Darius the Mede. This is Dariavesh HaParsi, Darius the Persian, the son of Ahasuerus. And when he becomes king, so he tells Ezra, I want you to go to Israel and make sure that the... Wait, we skipped a step. As he is king, the prophets Haggai and Zechariah, tell the Jews, start rebuilding the second Beit HaMikdash. So the Jews say, we don't have permission. And they say, do it. So they start rebuilding the second Beit HaMikdash. The governor, the Persian representative in Israel, comes and says, what are you guys doing? And they say, we're rebuilding the second Beit HaMikdash. He says, who gave you permission? They say, if you don't think we have permission, you check. But let us write our footnotes to your letter. And so he sends a letter, and this time the Jews also stick in their needs. And the letter goes back. He's not pleased with the rebuilding of the second Beit HaMikdash. Dariavesh, who is a Jew, the son of Esther, receives this letter. And in the letter it says, the Jews have already started rebuilding. And we asked them, who gave you permission? And they said, don't ask us who gave us permission. We always had a Jewish temple here. We always had a Jewish presence here. There's just this blip in the screen where it was destroyed. And now that we have opportunity, as in the past Koresh told us to come here, now we are rebuilding the second Beit HaMikdash. Darius receives the letter and they tell him, you can't allow this. And Darius says, show me the original letter of Koresh. And Darius, Dariavesh, sees that Koresh wrote in the letter, I order the pause of the rebuilding of the second Beit HaMikdash until further comment. He stuck in those words, until further comment, until I change my mind. So Dariavesh says, I'm not changing what Koresh said. Koresh put in a clause that said, until the king changes his mind. Well, I changed my mind. And he sends back word to the Jews. He says to the governor of Israel and the area, make sure to give the Jews gold and silver and salt and cattle and wine and oil, and give them whatever they need to bring sacrifices so that they pray that I succeed in my kingdom. And don't let anyone stop them. And anyone who tries to make any claims against the rebuilding of the second Beit HaMikdash will be cut up into limbs and their homes will be destroyed, and I will take a plank from their own home and have them hung on it. So no one's allowed to start speaking badly about the rebuilding of the second Beit HaMikdash. And then he calls in Ezra, and he tells Ezra, I want you to travel to Israel, and I want you to see if the Jews are keeping Torah. I'm concerned about how the Jews are observing. You know Torah well. This is Dariavesh. Dariavesh sends Ezra, and he says, what I'm telling you is in the text. He says, check out the Jews. Are they keeping Torah properly or not? Ezra comes to Israel, and the Jews are in a dire state. Ezra is bringing a sacrifice, and the leaders come over to him and they say, you know, we intermarried. We married non-Jewish women. And this is where we will restart. No, actually we did this, or we're going to... I'll summarize this part too. They tell him, you know, we the leadership, we intermarried, and from us the people learned, and many of us are intermarried, starting from the leadership down. And Ezra has this mass gathering in honor of the sacrifices of the Beit HaMikdash, and in everyone's presence, he tears off his clothing, he pulls out his hair, he pulls out his beard. Now, Dariavesh had given him license that anyone who doesn't listen to him and keep Torah, he should tax them, he should beat them, he should incarcerate them, he should pull out their hair. If necessary, he should kill them. Ezra was given license to be the king of the Jews in Israel. And so Ezra has a lot of power. Here the leaders come and tell him, you know, we intermarried, and then the people followed suit and they intermarried. And then the parts of the leadership that were God-fearing, they came to Ezra. And he spends the whole day mourning. And that evening, he prays before Hashem, and he says a prayer out loud. All the people are there in honor of this day of sacrifice, in honor of Hashem. And he starts saying, Rabbon Shalom, I'm embarrassed. We've transgressed so much. We've always been a transgressful people. But now, you've given us this remnant that can succeed here in Israel. And now that you've given us this ability to rebuild the temple, what can I say? I see my people, they've left your commandments. We've been disgraceful in our past, and now again, we've been disgraceful in intermarrying. How can it be? Are we going to again transgress your commandments? Hashem, you're righteous, because you've given us an existence. And Ezra is weeping and crying out loud so that all the people get embarrassed of what they've done. And they start crying. His speech is so moving. He says, look at us. We've been given this gift that we actually exist after everyone tried destroying us. And this is what we've done. So everyone's crying. And now this is where we're up to, the final chapter of the book of Ezra, what they call the 10th chapter, Pasuk Bet. Good evening, Tzi.
Esther Mordechai will marry, correct?
Okay.
And then she goes and marries Ahasuerus as well.
Okay.
Would they have divorced before he sent her in, or is she?
That's a good question. Let's wait till we get to the book of Esther.
Let's wait, we'll see.
You ask good questions.
I just didn't want to forget. So now it's out.
Okay. We move on.
Rav, you mentioned that one person in the book of Ezra, the tradition says it was Daniel.
Shesh Batzar.
Yeah, but isn't also someone that was killed in the book of... It's someone in the book of Esther is killed, that the tradition says it's Daniel.
Another good question. Let's wait till we get there.
Daniel is everywhere.
Well, look at that.
It gets confusing.
Okay. We're up to Pasuk Bet, what they call the 10th chapter, the second Pasuk. You guys are asking good questions. I just rather deal with them when we get there. Vayan Shechaniah ben Yechiel mibnei Elam vayomer leEzra. So this man, Shechaniah ben Yechiel, he tells Ezra the following. Anachnu ma'alnu ve'eloheinu. We have been unfaithful. So to speak, we've stolen. We've rebelled against our God. Vanoshev nashim nochiyot ma'amei ha'aretz. And we've married non-Jewish women from the nations around us. V'ata yesh mikveh liYisrael al zot. There is hope. He says, we're willing to divorce. V'ata nichot brit le'eloheinu. We're prepared to make a covenant with Hashem lo'tzicho lanashim. To remove all those women, vanolad mehem batzat Adonai, and including the children we've had from them, we understand that if this is the will of Hashem, v'acharedim b'mitzvat Eloheinu, those who fear the commandment of Hashem, v'chatorah ye'aseh, and he who does this, he who understands that his wife and children are not Jewish, it will be doing in accordance with the Torah. This is one of the sources where it clearly says that if the mother is not Jewish, then the child's not Jewish. Kum, ki alecha davar v'anachnu imach. You're responsible for this. And we're with you. The leadership is with you, Ezra. Chazak v'aseh. Be strong and act.
Is this where the term from?
Maybe. I don't know. Vayakom Ezra vayashba et tzarei hakohanim malvim v'chol Yisrael lasot kadvar hazeh v'yishevehu. So Ezra gets up and he tells the people, are you prepared to take a vow that you'll do this? The Kohanim, the Levim, the Jews, everyone takes a vow. Now we have to understand that this was a do or die. This was a time where if people did not make these drastic moves, then there wouldn't be Jewish people. Ezra's coming to a reality where the stores are open on Shabbos, people are doing commerce on Shabbos, and we'll see later in the book of Nehemiah, which is really a continuation of Ezra, we're going to see how bad the situation was religiously. So when the people say we're prepared to make these moves, this was an extraordinary time. This was a turning point in Jewish history. Our ability to be Jews today is to a large degree the product of Ezra. The Judaism we observe today is to a large degree the Judaism that Ezra and the men of the Great Assembly instituted. We will see as we go on that Daryavish has a lot of credit here, yeah. ויקום עזרא מלפני בית האלוהים וילך אל לשכת יוחנן בן אלישיב וילך שם. So Ezra goes from the Beit HaMikdash to the chamber of Yochanan ben Eliashiv. Lechem lo achal umayim lo shatah ki mitabel al ma'ala gola. He hasn't eaten or drank because he's in mourning over how his people have been unfaithful. Vayaviru kol b'yuda v'yushalayim l'chol b'nei ha'gola l'ikavetz y'yushalayim. So they sent out word throughout Judea and Jerusalem that all the Jews who have returned from the exile should gather to Jerusalem. V'chol ha'shalo yavo l'shlosh ta'imim katzat asarim v'azkenim. Anyone who does not come by the end of 3 days, as the leaders have decreed, Yachoram kol rechusho, they are going to take away all his assets. Vehu yibadel mikal ha'gola, and they're going to ostracize him. Vayichavtzu kol anshei Yehuda v'Binyamin Yerushalayim l'shlosh tayamim. So in 3 days, everyone gathers. Hu chodesh ha'tshi'i be'esrim b'chodesh. That is the 9th month. That's Kislev. Vayeshevu kol ha'am b'chov beit ha'elokim. The nation sat at the square, at the main road leading up to the Beit HaMikdash, mar'idim al hadavar u'me'ageshamim. They were scared. They were scared because they realized they had really transgressed this time. And they were scared what would happen with them. Imagine 40,000 people make aliyah, and suddenly the king rescinds the license. Suddenly everything they've come for, they become the enemy. It's like the people of Gush Katif. Initially they tell them, go, we want you there. And then they tell them, you're the problem. What do you mean we're the problem? You sent us here. So here the people had lived in existence under Koresh and then under Achashverosh, 2 decades, where they had gone from being the faithful citizen, that Koresh said, whoever is faithful to God should ascend to the Beit HaMikdash, to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, we'll back you financially, leave everything you're familiar with and go rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. And then Koresh is convinced they are the enemy. So things didn't seem so good to them. And then they intermarry, and Ezra comes back and says, you're destroying everything. We as a people have no future like this. So they were maridim, they were trembling, thinking of what they had done these past 2 decades. And umeag shamim. And they were standing out in the main street, and it was raining on them. It was Kislev, it's Hanukkah time. It's the peak of winter, it's cold. Ezra the Kohen said to them, "Atem me'altem, you guys have been unfaithful. V'tashivu nashim nochiyot, you married non-Jewish women. Losif al hashmat Yisrael, here you go again. You're making things worse, as though we hadn't done enough bad things in our history. V'atatnu toda l'Hashem Elokei avotechem asu retzono. You guys have to confess, speak to Hashem, the God of your fathers, and accept to do what He wants. V'ibadu me'amei'arut, min anashim anochiyot. You have to separate yourself from the nations and from these non-Jewish women. I don't know how this works. This reads like a fairy tale. You're talking to people and telling them get divorced. You have to restart your lives. Ezra tells the people, you guys have to change. You have to realize that you have to separate. Vayanucho lakahal veyomehu kol gadol. So the people in mass declared, ken ki dvarcha aleinu lasot. You're right. We have to do what you said. Aval ha'am rav, but you know there are a lot of us here. Va'et geshamim, and it's the winter, it's raining now. Ven koach lamod b'chutz, we can't stand here in the rain. Va'amlacha lo liyom echad ve'lo lishnayim. It's not going to happen in a day or two. Ki rabinu lifshoa b'davar hazeh. We've done a lot wrong. Yamduna sareinu l'chol ha'kahal. We're asking, appoint the leaders, and they're going to be with us. V'chol asher ba'areinu ha'hoshiv nashim nochiyot yavo li'itim mezumanim. Anyone who married a non-Jewish woman will come at set times. V'imeim ziknei ir v'ir v'shofeteah. The elders and judges of each city will come with them. Ad la'ashiv charon ha'felokeinu mimenu ad la'davar hazeh. So the way it's described here is that there were people within them who had intermarried. It wasn't everyone. They said every community will take care of the people in their midst who had intermarried. Because we realize that Hashem's upset at us for what we've done here. Ach Yonatan ben Asel v'Yachaziah ben Tikva amdu al zot umshulam v'shabtai ha-Levi ha-Zerum. So the people who were going to be on top of this were these three. Yonatan ben Asael, Yachaziah ben Tikva, and Meshulam and Shabtai Levi. Four. We're on Pasuk Tetvav. ויעשוכן בני הגולה ויבדלו עזרא הכהן אנשים ראשי אבות לבית אבותם וכולם בשמות וישבו ביום אחד לכל שעשרי לדריוש הדבר. So they sat down on the first of the 10th month. They weren't going to let a lot of time pass. Remember, they were here in Kislev, now in Teves. It was the third, it was the 20th of Kislev when this had started. On the 23rd of Kislev, everyone had gathered, they had 3 days. And now, a week later, the first of Tevet, they're already convening the court and they're starting to oversee this process. That's one of the rules when you deal with the public. You can't let things die down. If people are already enthusiastic about something, you got to follow through. Vaychalu v'kol. And they completed everything. Anashim ha'oshivu nashim nochiyot ad yom echad l'chol sharishon. They did it all in 2 months. From the first of Tevet to the first of Nisan. Tevet, Shvat Adar, in 3 months. Vayimatzim yivnei ha'kohanim she'oshivu nashim nochiyot. They found Kohanim who had married non-Jewish women. Mibnei Yeshua ben Yotzadak. Here the Pasuk tells us something we had on tradition. It's overtly here that Yeshua ben Yotzadak, which our sages say is the Yehoshua that is mentioned in the Navi Zechariah. We read that prophecy on Hanukkah. Shmana Yoshua, you Yoshua, listen here, the Navi Zechariah tells him. Remember, the angel sees him and he sees he's wearing dirty clothing. The Yoshua haya lavush begadim tzoim. He was wearing clothing that had feces on them. And the angel says, remove his dirty clothing, dress him with clean, beautiful clothing. And then he sees that miraculous lamp that has continuous oil being pressed into it, and that's the lamp that's on all the coins of the state of Israel. That's the idea that there's going to be a future to the people of Israel. The people will continue giving light. So our tradition is, what was the Navi Zechariah seeing when he saw the Kohen Gadol Yoshua ben Yotzadak with soiled clothing? Our tradition is it was a reference to his children, Yoshua's own children. The Kohen Gadol Yoshua ben Yotzadak, his own children had intermarried. And that's what's referenced here. The Yeshua over here is Yehoshua ben Yotzadak, the Kohen Gadol. All these different Kohanim had married pagan women. They took upon themselves to separate from these non-Jewish women, and they brought a sacrifice over what they had done. And then he lists over here the different families who had intermarried. We're going to skip all the names. That's a big thing in the book of Ezra. You have lists and lists of names. And the last pasuk in the book, Koleil nasu nashim nochiyot v'yesh mehem nashim v'esimu banim. Some of them had even had children, and they separated from their non-Jewish wives and their children. Now, this didn't make the Jews very popular. You could imagine their non-Jewish neighbors started getting their daughters back, and they asked their daughter, why'd your husband divorce you? And she says, he decided he's observant now. So this wasn't such an easy thing. I'm saying, you're talking about a few hundred women, but that's enough to rile up our neighbors against us. Ezra had this understanding that the only way the Jewish people can succeed is by doing this. We continue. It's interesting that our tradition is that the continuation, the book of Nehemiah, is a continuation of Ezra. There are different interpretations among our sages why this book is a continuation of Ezra, because it would really make sense to separate them. Nehemiah, it starts, the book of Nehemiah, the words of Nehemiah. And he will even review part of the history that Ezra described from his angle. So it really seems like a separate book. Our tradition is it's one book. It's the book of Ezra. And we move on to what the Christians call the Book of Nehemiah, and for whatever reason in our Tanakh it's also called the Book of Nehemiah, and we begin.